The psalmist says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I think some of you will remember Mr. Mark Chin spoke on that psalm, Psalm 133, at our anniversary Thanksgiving dinner. And we had a wonderful time there, and we thank God for that message. But as he talks about there, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, we know that unity is a very important subject. And the Lord Jesus Christ prays about unity in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. John 17 is really just that. It's a prayer. Prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his longest prayer that we see recorded in Scripture. This prayer naturally falls into three parts. In the first part, first five verses, Jesus prays for himself. Then verses 6 to 19, he prays for his disciples. And then in verses 20 to the end of the chapter, Jesus prays for all believers. So we see a natural progression there in his prayer. Verse 3 is an interesting one, because in verse 3 we have the definition of eternal life. You know, sometimes people ask, what is eternal life? Well, Jesus says, it is this. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we see very clearly there, what is eternal life? To know God, and to know personally the Lord Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. And then, as we talk about this matter of unity, that is mentioned in verse 11, the last part of the chapter verse there, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So there's that unity, a spiritual unity among the believers. We see it also in verses 21 and 22. That they all may be one. There's that unity. That thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So we see several verses there where Jesus mentioned that subject of unity, as he prayed that there may be spiritual unity among the believers. And so that is what we want to consider more this afternoon, looking at John chapter 17, but looking at other verses in the Bible as well. And the first thing we want to note is that if we want to have unity in the church, we need truth. Now, the Lord Jesus told Pilate, I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate replied with a question, what is truth? Good question, isn't it? What is truth? Truth is defined as something factual. In other words, we might say, it really happened. That is truth. I think of the story that I read about four high school students who decided to take a day off from school, which is not recommended, but that's what they decided to do. And coming to school the next day, they told the teacher that the car in which they had been riding had a punctured tire. And much to their relief, the teacher smiled and said, that's okay, but you did miss a short test yesterday. So if you will take your seat, but not next to each other, you know, in different parts of the classroom there, and take out a piece of paper, I'll give you the brief test that I gave yesterday. And the boys found seats in the classroom in different corners, and you ready? Yes, sir. All right. Which fire was punctured? Of course, the truth came out, because they had not rehearsed that particular question. What's truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He also said, right here in John 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And whether we have the written word of God, as we have it here, or we have the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, both are absolute truth. Both the living word and the written word of God are truth. And so to have unity in the church, we need the truth of the Word of God and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the only way to heaven. That is the truth of the Word of God. And so to have unity in the church, we need truth. But not only do we need truth in the church, to have unity in the church, we also need love. In the last verse, in the high priestly prayer of Jesus, in verse 26, he says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So he says, the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love wherewith the Heavenly Father loved the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, that kind of love, may that be in the believers as well. And that is the subject that Jesus has mentioned several other times. If you look at John chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So we are to continue in his love. And then verse 12 in that same chapter, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." We are to love one another. And then in verse 17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." So it's very important, that subject of love. And if we want to have unity in the church, there must be love. So there was once a very elderly, aged Christian man, and he lay in his bed, was dying, and a friend called in to say farewell to him. And the dying man said, "I've just had three other visitors, and with two of them I parted. But the third I shall keep with me forever." Well, who are they? All right. The first was Faith. And I said, "Goodbye, Faith. I thank God for your company ever since I first trusted Christ. But now I am going where Faith is lost in sight." And then came Hope. "Farewell, Hope," I cried. "You have helped me in many an hour of battle and distress. But now I shall not need you, for I am going where hope passes into fruition." Last of all came Love. "Love," said I, "you have indeed been my friend. You have linked me with God and with my fellow men. You have comforted and gladdened all my pilgrimage. But I cannot leave you behind. You must come with me through the gates into the city of God, for love is perfected in heaven." Love. Faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. or love. Faith? Well, we don't need faith, is it, when we see our Lord face to face? Hope? No need for hope when we see our Lord face to face. But the love will still be there. And if we want to have unity in the church, we need the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we need to show love for each other. As Jesus said, love one another. Thirdly, to have unity in the church, we need submission. Submission. The Lord Jesus Christ himself submitted to his heavenly Father. If we look again in John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do. He submitted to the will of the Father. He obeyed what the Father said. In John 8, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So Jesus says, I do nothing of myself, but I do as the Father has taught me. Whatever the Father wanted him to do, that is what he did. He submitted himself to the Father. And he said, I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please the Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul, being inspired by God, wrote this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Submitting himself to his heavenly Father and becoming obedient even unto the death of the cross. And so the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to the Father. And you and I need to submit ourselves if we want unity in the church. Here are three interesting quotes on that subject of submission. The first one is by Bobby Richardson. I'm not sure how many of you have heard his name before, but he's a famous American baseball player. He played for the New York Yankees. All right, he said this, Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. That's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. That's submission. Your will, not my will, but your will be done. That's what Jesus prayed when he was in the garden. Remember that? Lord, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Richard Baxter, who was an English Puritan, author of several books, The Saint's Everlasting Rest, The Reformed Pastor, compulsory reading when I was in seminary. But this is what he said, Lord, what thou wilt, where thou wilt, and when thou wilt. Fully submit to the will of God. What God will, where God will, and when God will. Yield totally to the will of God. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, he said, the Lord was looking for a man weak enough to use and he found me. That's what we need to realize. God is looking for men and women weak enough to use. Not strong people. I can do it. I don't need any help. No. People that recognize that they are weak. They cannot do anything themselves. Totally dependent upon the Lord. We need to submit to the Lord. And to have unity in the church, we need to submit ourselves fully to God. Not I, but Christ. Remember that verse, Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's it. Christ living in me. Not I, but Christ. Submission. Fully submitted to the will of God. To have unity in the church, we need to submit ourselves to God. And then, lastly, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, but to have unity in the church, we need humility. The humility of the Lord Jesus is seen in his submission to his Father. 1 John 4:14. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus did the work that the Father gave him to do. We saw that in verse 4 when Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, we've already made reference to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 where we read that Jesus humbled himself. In Matthew 11:29, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, the Lord Jesus, he didn't say, you know, I'm the second person of the Trinity. You know, get somebody else to do it. No, he did not. He humbly gave his life for us, for you, for me. You know, if you look at church history, there's one man by the name of Augustine. Very important. Fascinating life to study it. Remember, at that point, there was only one church. No Protestant church. Catholic church was just the one church. Catholics tend to claim him. Augustine has written about his conversion extensively. But he became, by the way, bishop in a town called Hippo in North Africa. But one day, somebody asked Augustine what was the first of the religious graces. And he answered and said, humility. And then they asked him what was the second. And he replied, humility. Well, what is the third? Humility. The first three. Humility, humility, humility. An unknown person said, it is possible to be too big for God to use you, but never too small for God to use you. That sounds like Hudson Taylor, doesn't it? The Lord was looking for a man weak enough to use. And he found me. But it is possible to be too big for God to use you, but never too small for God to use you. Humility. To have unity in the church, we also need humility. We need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. 1 Peter 2:23 and 24. By whose stripes you are healed? Not physical healing, but spiritual healing from our sins. You know, in October, we will be having our annual holiday Bible club. Something that we have every year. Uncle Haiseng is coming again. I'm sure the children are looking forward to the holiday Bible club. Some people, of course, call it vacation Bible school. Doesn't matter what you call it. But there was once a church where they were having their vacation Bible school or holiday Bible club. And the class was interrupted when a new student was brought in. And the little boy had only one arm. He had a right arm, but no left arm. And the teacher was quite nervous that one of the other children might comment on this handicap and might embarrass him. Well, she went to the class time, and as it came time for the class to close, she did so in her usual way of closing. And she said, "Let's make our churches." And she put her hands together, you know, "Let's make our churches." And then she all of a sudden realized what had happened. She was worried that the children might embarrass the boy with only one arm. And here she was the one that actually embarrassed him. You know, put up your... And she was really, didn't know what to do. The thing that she had feared that the children would do, she did herself. She stood there speechless. And then the little girl sitting next to the boy reached over with her left hand and placed it up to his right hand. And she said, "Here, let's make the church together." And isn't that the way it should be? Make the church together. The unity of the church. Let us as a church be united as we commit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ so that we might build His church together. Jesus manifested truth, love, submission, and humility. He did always those things that pleased His Heavenly Father. And may we do the same. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we have seen how the Lord Jesus Christ manifested truth, love, submission, and humility, as He always did those things that pleased His Heavenly Father, may we do the same. May we show truth and love and submission and humility in our lives, striving together for the faith of the gospel, doing those things that please Thee. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens, and often fall each other close, the sympathizing tears. When we asunder part, give the inward thing, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.